on BBC Radio Northampton. It's Chris Barrow here. I mentioned we'd meet Dan Edge, who's a professional actor, also does a bit of wrestling as well, which is quite the combination. Joining us in the studios now. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. How are you doing? Are you keeping well?
Yes, good, thank you. Good. Very nice to be here and talk to the world, I suppose. Yes. Well, Northampton at least.
Yeah, Northampton
and the world
and
online.
Beyond. Exactly, exactly. Now, I did recognise you when you walked in, and that's because you've done a bit of kind of ad work. People might have seen some stuff you've done on TV as well.
Yes,
it was a betting company you were just telling me.
It was, yeah. People may recognise me if they watch the sports channels, watch a lot of football, for singing a very questionable version of Spandau Ballet's Gold.
Wow, is it Goal?
Indeed, yeah. That. I'd just like to point out they asked me to sing badly. Can I get that
wow.
on there?
Thank you. You can. Put that out there so no one can ever ask you that again.
Exactly. Everybody goes, did they ask you? Yes, they did.
Yes, please sing badly. And have you got a beautiful voice?
But passable.
Better than what they made me do.
We'll go with passable.
Well, that's good enough. From Northampton, you studied drama as well.
I did indeed. At the University of Northampton, I did a BA degree at the University of Northampton in drama, and then very fortunately picked up my agent sooner, just before I graduated. And
through that?
Well, he put out an advert looking for disabled talent. I'm a disabled actor. I have cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And he was looking for disabled talent, and at the time, which was 10 years ago now, makes me feel old.
Emery.
Exactly. He was looking for disabled talent, and he said, "You're rare because you have some professional training."
I thought you said because you have some talent.
Well, that too.
You have so much talent.
Talent and professional training.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
In his words, I didn't look like I'd been hit by the back of a bus, which
wow.
was nice.
okay.
So, you know. But he basically said, I'm a good-looking guy. Relative, I know, but, you know, it's a business that somewhat
well,
is based on,
you know,
appearances more than it should be.
Depending on what the roles are, but
exactly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Exactly.
You know, people on TV that want to
look at beautiful people.
This is the thing. This is the thing, isn't it? You know?
So with all of that, he very kindly took me on, and we've been together ever since.
Great.
And I've been very fortunate to have a wide and varied career doing all kinds of weird and wonderful and amazing things.
Well, we'll talk about some of the roles that you've done shortly, but I've got to ask you where wrestling comes into the mix, because that is an unusual sideline.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay, well, when I was doing my A-levels, I talked to a friend of mine who was a big dude. He was 6'3" and 18 stone, and he said to me, "Dan, you like your wrestling, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah."
Watching it, presumably.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said, "You know there's a local training school, don't you?" And I said, "Hang on a minute. We live in Northampton.
Yeah.
This is not wrestling country. What do you mean there's a local training school?" And he gave me all the details, and my trainer, Jem Brown, Mr. Total Extreme, he was known as time.
Yeah. I recognise that name as well. Have I seen posters with him?
Possibly, yeah, over the years.
Yeah.
There's been pro wrestling of some level within Northampton for at least 25 years. Jem, I went to training and he looked at me up and down and said, "You want to be a wrestler?"
Mm.
I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, can you bump?" And I looked at him sort
what
of going
that
out.
Mean, yeah.
Exactly. And he said, "Can you fall over?" I went, "Ha ha, falling, I can do.
I've got skills here.
I can fall. I've been falling all my life. It's fine." He said, go over there then and prove yourself. And he said, go fall on that mat. He looked at my technique, told me where I was going right and going wrong. To fall safely.
Because you've got to, it's very carefully, wrestling is very athletic and it's quite choreographed and everything has to be at the same moment, otherwise it doesn't look right.
It's all about timing, but at the same time, you know, we learn in the same way somebody would for judo to break fall, to try and limit the damage to our bodies.
Yeah,
because as much as it's more open that it's a show these days, it's still extremely physical and takes a massive, massive toll on your body.
Of course, yeah.
So he looked at my falls, and basically all I did for 6 weeks was fall over to make sure I could do it safely. And then after 6 weeks, he went, "Okay, I'll train you to be a wrestler."
So when did you get your wrestling nickname? Because that must be a sort of a moment of achievement, because you can't just start off with a nickname, surely.
No, you don't. You sort of think about it, and you talk to your coaches and you devise it. And generally, most people go through a couple of name changes throughout their career. But this one at the time, you know, I was one of very, very few disabled pro wrestlers in the world. So, and there was a song by a group called Fort Minor, and it had lyrics about being 100%, and I went, well, there's nobody else quite like me, so I then became 100% Dan Edge.
I love it.
And I wear big sparkly robes and all kinds of craziness.
How many outfits do you have?
Not that many.
Because you probably don't need that many, I would thought. Like maybe one or two.
Exactly. But I'm probably best known for my sparkly gold robe with huge feather boas around the neck. And, yeah. But, you know, there's still a great amount of wrestling going on in Northampton. If you want to train, there is still a local training school. They're known as Win Wrestling. So if you've ever fancied getting involved in the wrestling business, look them up. Winwrestling.co.uk if you want to go there. Check them out. Because, yeah, wrestling might not be for everybody, but there's some people that still want to give it a go.
We might get them on another day on the show, because they'd be a lot of fun. But also, I would love to be... You know, I used to watch a lot of wrestling, and there was a move called the 3D.
Yes.
Where you'd get thrown from one person to another, and then they would grab your head, and then you'd normally get smashed through a table.
Yes.
It would be my professional... highlight of my career to be 3D'd through a table. So
do you know that
to happen.
We'll talk to the guys at Win Wrestling.
I'll sign to help and say, I don't care, I'll sign anything you like. I want to be 3D'd through a table.
Well, okay then.
I'm happy.
We'll sort that out. We'll swap emails.
Thank you.
And we'll get that sorted. And we'll get you 3D through a table in front of a paying audience.
Thank you so much. That's the dream. Can I ask you, because I know you've spoken about this before, and it's something that it's only because it's very, very recent. And this is, and I'm a big fan of Bryan Cranston and the Breaking Bad series. Mm-hmm. Lots of people would have seen that. He's taking some flack at the moment for playing a character that's disabled, where obviously he doesn't have a disability. Now, mm-hmm. I know you've spoken about this before. I'm just interested to get your take on... Because he says, well, actors play roles where they have to do things that they don't normally do. You know, you take on a character. Mm-hmm. If you can affect that, whatever the role requires, then why not? And we were just talking about this before coming on air, and it's difficult, isn't it?
It is difficult, but my argument when it comes to this is, yes, Bryan Cranston... very talented.
Yeah.
And he's openly said it was a business decision, possibly to win awards, if I'm being slightly cynical. But
you can say that.
Whether the film is going to win awards, who knows? But the issue with it is there is a lot of very, very talented deaf and disabled actors. I'd like to put myself in that bracket.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also lots of other really talented deaf and disabled actors throughout the world. Bryan Cranston himself worked with 1RJ Mitty on Breaking Bad. He's probably one of the most well-known...
Well, especially because of the success of the series.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody, you know, is aware of him.
Exactly, but the issue is, Bryan can, at the moment, play whatever role he chooses. I, as a disabled performer, can't. Nobody phones me up and goes, Dan, we've got this really great role of a non-disabled person. Yeah.
So
do you
never
play
him? You never get that call?
No. I might get a call for a role that hasn't been thrown either way, and they go, it doesn't matter whether they have an impairment or not, and that's fine. Great. I will happily play shopkeeper number 3, you know, because why can't shopkeeper number 3 have an impairment, whatever that may be, whether it be cerebral palsy like myself or something else? But the issue is, when disabled performers aren't getting cast to play people with impairments...
Yeah.
And we're definitely not getting looked at to play people without impairments.
So the number of roles really gets restricted down. Maybe other actors aren't inspired to take up roles.
Exactly. And the issue is, you know, there is a lack of representation when it comes to deaf and disabled people on screen generally. Massive lack. 8 out of 10 disabled people, according to a survey done by the disability charity Scope, don't feel that they're properly represented on screen in television and theatre. And that's because we're not. When you think 1 in 5, roughly, is about the figure for deaf and disabled people in this country.
Mm.
So if that was to transfer onto screen, that should mean 1 in 5 characters you see has a impairment of some kind. It doesn't have to be physical. They don't have to be
visible
a wheelchair.
Or not.
Exactly, visible or not. But at some point, there should be 1 in 5 people. If TV and film is to reflect society, then that should be what's on screen. And we're not there yet. It's better than it's ever been.
Yeah.
But there is a long, long way to go. And The other argument is Bryan Cranston has name value, so on and so forth.
He'll sell tickets.
He will sell tickets. But the issue is, there will never be that deaf or disabled performer that can sell tickets unless we're given the opportunity to be given those roles.
Someone like Bryan Cranston's doing it already.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, if Bryan Cranston wants to be involved, look at RJ Mitty. Bryan Cranston had the lead role, RJ Mitty was there. I don't necessarily...
But he played a brilliant... I mean, he really played a great role.
He did play a great role. He did play an amazing role. And the fact is, he is now one of the most well-known disabled performers throughout the world. End of. So start giving us roles like that, because we're good enough. Mm. Let us get in the room. Yeah. Let us make our own names. And then we'll be the draw, telling our own stories to make the money.
I want to talk about it a lot more. It's a very interesting point, very well made as well.
Thank you.
So you're going to carry on, obviously, acting's taking up more of your time, but a bit of wrestling here and there as well.
Oh, yes, yes, still involved with that. Yeah. I do a lot of activism as well, as you can probably tell the speech that I've just given. I work with the Actors Union Equity to try and improve working rights and representation of deaf and disabled performers as part of the Deaf and Disabled Members Committee. And I also do a lot of charity work with Scope, trying to bust some myths really about disability, because so many people are scared to talk about disability, scared to ask those questions. You know, so I'll go into schools and I'll talk to young people and, you know, go, this is a safe space. Ask me whatever you like.
Yeah.
No questions.
Kids are great about asking questions that adults want to ask but feel like there's a taboo.
Exactly.
Like a kid, I'm happy to say this to you, a kid might say to you, why do you walk funny?
Yeah.
Now, an adult wouldn't want, do you see what I mean? There might be that kind of barrier, but that's what's nice about kids, if they can just ask questions like that.
Exactly. And I mean, when I've been giving these talks, I've been asked questions from, do I use a knife and fork? Yes, I do. To, you know, can I have a relationship? Can I do everything that revolves around a relationship? And the answer is yes. But there is such a fear around disability, and I want to try and remove that as much as I can by doing work like that. Hell, let's have a question and answer session on BBC Radio Northampton.
I think we could do it, you know. Yeah, I'm making notes now.
Do it. We'll book it. We'll have a ask a disability question session on BBC Radio Northampton, because if people of Northampton have questions and I'm in the studio, we'll answer them.
I've got an idea. I'll push it forward. Okay. Dan, it's great to meet you, though. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
If people want to catch you, Dan Edge, I know they can find you online and stuff like that.
Instagram and Twitter, it's Dan_Edge. So find me on there. Facebook's a longer thing, but all go to my website, danedge.com.
Easy, straightforward, nice one. Thank you so much for that, Dan.
Thank you very much indeed.
Look forward to being wrestled through a table in the future.
We'll work on it, we'll sort it.
Thank you.